Contending for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Society is moving. Jude exposes for us that there are apostate movements in history that we can apply to our day. And that's what we're going to look at today on Abounding Grace Radio as we go back to the book of Jude and consider his call to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saint. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace. Visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. The number is 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. This is now part two of a message that we aired yesterday, Living in Apostate Times. Visit us on the web at agradio.org. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. The very nature of the very goal of the apostates was to take the grace of Jesus and do what with it? The gospel, and turn it into however you want to live, whatever you want to do. You're saved by grace. Go live and do what you want to do. And Jude is interacting with this. Jude is having us think about this. I want to remind you that Jesus, after he saved them, destroyed those who didn't believe. What is he emphasizing here? The great teacher Israel. This is why Israel's there. Paul and the New Testament are constantly saying, don't do these things. They teach us something about what not to do, and you study it for that reason. We never unhitch from the Old Testament, as some pastors are saying today. And you'll notice here why. He's emphasizing that the first great movement of apostasy you can study, that you know a lot about, is Israel in the wilderness. Apostasy? What do you mean? What do you mean apostasy? Well, the event in Jude's mind is this one. They made it rather quickly all the way to the gate of the promised land, if you will. You remember what happened? This is Numbers 14. You're welcome to turn there if you'd like. I'll read the section. Just before you get there in chapter 13, they sent out spies into Canaan. Remember? And they came back with the report to Moses. And the report was, wow, the land is full of milk and honey, and it is a glorious land, but there's a great problem. The people are strong. The cities are well fortified. The Amalekites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Canaanites are there. The worst of all, the sons of Anak, giants, and we're like grasshoppers in our own sight, and in theirs, Moses, we can't conquer this land. Here's 14. So the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. Oh, if only we had died in the land of Egypt. Translate. Only you would have never saved us. Verse 4. So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Wow. What a moment of apostasy. They grumbled, they complained, they were faithless, and then the great apostasy came. They shot out against the leadership. They shot out against salvation. They rejected the whole thing. They set up an entire rebellion, and they said, that's it. We're done with wilderness life. We're done with all this. God has made good on nothing. We're tired of this. We're going back. Now, I want you to hear what the Lord said. Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice. Hear it? They tested God 10 times. And even though they saw his acts of deliverance, he said, they shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, not any of those who rejected me will see it. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in the wilderness, all of you who were numbered according to your entire number from 20 years old and above. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness according to the number of days in which you spied out the land, 40 days. For each day you shall bear your guilt 1 year, namely 40 years, and you shall know my rejection. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will surely do that. To all this evil congregation who are gathered together against me, in this wilderness they shall be consumed and they shall die. You know what happened, right? It didn't take 40 years to get to the door of the promised land. It took months. He made them mull around for 40 years until that generation died, and then Joshua and Caleb led them in, the new generation. What was the apostasy? Rebellion against the word. Rebellion against Jesus. Rebellion against his salvation. Unbelief in the whole thing. We're done with this. We're done. We're walking away. That's what apostasy is. We're going back. Now, this is exactly what New Testament writers are saying to us that we have to be on guard of before the end. Jude says the same Jesus who afterward saved those, afterward destroyed those who didn't believe. What Jude is saying, you know this phenomenon. You've seen this phenomenon. Listen to 2 Thessalonians 2. Let no one deceive you in any way, for the day of the Lord will not come unless the rebellion comes first. Apostasy, rebellion. It's the same. They're thinking of this. Let no one deceive you. This phenomenon is at work. It's at work. There's a falling away. What are you going to see? Well, you're going to see in our age, throughout our age, and preceding the Lord's return, apostasy. And you're going to see it in rebellion against the Lord in the church. You're going to see a rejection of his word. You're going to see a rejecting of the message of salvation and a going back to Egypt. This is what we have to be on guard against. I want to read something that Al Mohler, I read this week, how he's analyzing the culture's move in this way. But remember that the pressure of the culture right now is what seems to be directing the church. Listen to this. We can now see what so many have long denied, that the experiment in liberty and self-government known as the United States of America is premised upon an affirmation of human dignity and human rights that only makes sense within and can only be sustained by a worldview that is based on at least an inherited Christian conception and an affirmation of natural rights. Listen to this. The Declaration of Independence famously stated this affirmation in the most directive terms. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The founders did not fully understand the affirmation they were making, as is clear from the horrible reality of slavery, but they were most certainly correct in their conception of unalienable rights endowed upon every human being by their Creator. This same spirit gave birth to the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights, without which the Constitution itself would never have been ratified. Religious liberty is the first freedom, the foundational liberty upon which every other enumerated liberty depends, but the center's not holding. The very idea of human dignity will not long survive in a secular season, for once that dignity is grounded in anything other than the act of a divine creator, human dignity withers to whatever dignity humanity can accord itself. The 20th century should be warning enough of what happens when human dignity is grounded in a merely secular conception of humanity and dignity. He's saying, we're now seeing this proved. We're now seeing it. And when the Creator is assaulted, when the Creator is utterly abandoned, this is all Romans 1 here at this point. When that is utterly suppressed, all those rights go. Hatred of Him. How do you think the church is going to do in that environment? This is the very point of Jude, is that there is going to be a rejection of Him in the church. There's going to be a hatred of Him. What we're going to see is people saying, I've had it. We're done with this. It doesn't work. Where's the power? Where's the answer? It's the same kind of apostasy of Israel. We're done with the word. It doesn't do anything for us. And they leave it. It was handed to me this morning, a great quote by Calvin. I want to read it at this point. Indeed, it has usually happened in the church in nearly every age that it has had no enemies more dangerous than in its own household. Therefore, lest believers should be troubled by such shamefulness, let them get used to putting up with traitors in good time. The movement will be a rejection of the gospel, of Jesus, and of His word. That's the first major apostasy to look for. What's the second? What's the second movement we see in history? Jude answers us. And the angels who did not stay, you'll notice there within verse 6, their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he's kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. A lot of speculation on this verse. There is no doubt that Jude is making use of apocryphal stories and handed down stories from the tradition and interacting with them of what the Jews and what people knew. But it's the main point that's clear. Angels did not at first keep in their own estate, their own position of authority. But they left it. Apostasy. What is he telling us? Something very important. the word here stresses that the Greek word, that angels were assigned a place and they abandoned the authority and the position that God put them in. They were assigned positions. They were created beings. They had creative roles. They were defined as angels. And what you have here is Jude saying, God's assignment was completely rejected. They left that dominion. They left that place. They left their abode. That is, they left their heavenly habitation. And what was the sin? Same thing you saw with Herod this morning. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation. This is Satan. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be the Most High. Pride, pride, pride. We will be our own gods. This was the very sin that Satan tempted Eve with. When he dangled the fruit and told her to go eat, what was the temptation? Well, has God said? There's the first thing we've considered. And then what did he say? He attacked the position. You can't be happy in that position. Remember? God wants you free. He's constrained you. You can be your own God. The point of Jude is that the fallen angels are the greatest representation of this kind of rebellion. This is your second apostasy. People will not be content with how God made them, and what he assigned to them, their roles in life as male and female. They will usurp creation norms. They will tear down creation norms and do it their way. They will work hard to obliterate all the distinctions that God made and positions that he assigned. This is why marriage is under attack. Are they throwing out marriage or are they throwing out the positions in marriage? Think about it. We have a culture of now we're rejecting gender roles and gender itself. Marrying contrary to nature. Casting off creation norms. Definitions of who people are. That's what this is. That's the second kind of apostasy he's talking about. So two apostasies, falling away from a knowledge of the truth, a knowledge of the word and salvation, a walking away from it, a walking away from how he made us, and third, his most attractive tool, let me introduce to you Sodom and Gomorrah. One more history lesson, says Jude, for a mass apostasy. You know well the story. I don't have to go into the story. But you'll remember when the angels came to the gate of Sodom, what the men of Sodom wanted to do. Jude is interacting with that. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. It was the height of everything impure and the complete destruction of even what we would consider norms of sexuality. Everything was so twisted, it went to that extent. So that Lot went out to them and shut the door and said, "Please, my brethren, don't do wickedly. I have two daughters who've not known a man. Let me bring them out to you that you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof." What is the apostasy? A culture completely out of control sexually. Out of control. They reversed what was normal and natural, even in immorality, if you will, what they know in nature. They took it to the most unnatural extremes. See the movements? Apostasies to be aware of. And Jesus put them in a certain order here to make the reason. The first, how seriously did God take it? Their bodies were put to death in the wilderness. Second, the angels are reserved under chains for judgment. Third, eternal judgment of fire. There's a progression here. So there are three movements you can study to look at and see: a rejection of the word and the Savior, a rejection of assigned creative norms, male and female, and running headlong into every kind of sexual morality under the sun. And what is Jude doing with this now? He's applying it. These are the things that you will see apostates in the church justifying. He applies it. You see it there in verse 8. "Yet in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, 'The Lord rebuke you,' but these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively." You see the application here? Israel in the wilderness didn't listen to the word. These live by their dreams. How many false teachers have come to us and said, and live by their dreams and not the word? The angels left their authority structures. He says, so do these. These reject authority. They hate authority. He gives an example. He says, you know that, and this was an apocryphal story, I suppose, or a handed down story. You know that when Michael was disputing about the body of Moses with Satan, that he didn't even use his mouth to shoot out against Satan without God saying it was okay? Look at the point there, right? Everyone shoots out the lip at authority structures. Everyone's rejecting authority. And apostates say, that's okay. That's okay. And then you'll notice here, they follow whatever their lusts want. That's Sodom. The application's right there. He applied the whole thing. They speak blasphemy. So these three sweeping movements of a rejection of a Savior, of the Savior and His Word, a rejection of authority structures and assigned positions, and a giving themselves over to all kinds of immorality is what Jude is having us think about. Look at it. Is this today? Are we wise to see it? Do we see it? Do you see these things unfolding in our day? It becomes a vitally important issue because many of you are sending off your kids to college. And do you think because they're in Christian schools, they're safe? Young people, you need to be very aware. Jude is saying it's on the inside. Our young people are being hit hard right now. And they will be exposed to a bunch of stuff in the name of Christianity that requires these kinds of things to be addressed and requires of parents you to stand for the truth, for you to say that's wrong. And I want to close tonight by saying, remember why we needed the intro and the closing? I said that at the beginning. He's going to keep you. He's going to preserve you. He loves you to the end. He's not going to lose you. This is how he's doing it. You see? He's fighting off wolves for you. This is how you fight off wolves. This is how you, if Jesus said they come in sheep's clothing, here's how you undress them. Right here. This is the undressing of wolves. It's the ultimate expression of love. And in our day, I know it'll be characterized as unloving to even say anything's wrong. But this is the Lord's way of helping and keeping you. I love that. What a God. I wanted to come and talk about salvation, but I first need to fight off the wolves so I can talk about salvation. I need to show you the wolves first so that you'll be aware and understand of this battle on the inside to contend earnestly for the faith, to hold on to the deposit of truth, to care about the truth. Christ will keep you, not for judgment, but for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last. So, contend, which means three things then. You're going to have to care about the gospel. You're going to have to care about the truth. When things get hard, you're going to continue to embrace that truth and trust the Lord and His good providence. And you're going to understand that you're under His gracious lordship. What a wonderful place to be. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. His authority structures are not hard on you. Don't buy into that lie. That's what young people often face, don't they? That God's ways are constricting. That's the lie of Satan. His authority structures are good for you. He's keeping you. He's helping you. And third, He wants you free. He doesn't want you brought back under bondage to all the sexual mess of this world. He wants you to fight. He wants you pure. He cares about your bodies. You've been joined to Christ. You're in union with Him. See? Well, soon this conflict will be over. It really will. Soon it will be over and there'll be no more of this. But until then, Jude is calling us to take it seriously. Contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, a challenging section tonight to get our heads around, but we trust Your wonderful Word and that it has a good purpose in keeping us. So help us, Father, to love Your truth, to remember all that Jesus has done and these examples in the Old Testament, that we would not be unbelieving but believing, that we would be content with what You have assigned us and who we are, and that we would guard our lives from letting lusts and every desire under the sun drive us, but that You would keep us from false teachers and those who creep in who want to destroy our faith, who want to lead many away. Give us all diligence and conviction in the truth. And thank You for showing us what wolves look like, and thank You for defending Your flock, O Jesus. Thank You for defending your flock. We see what this is. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.